Everyone, welcome back to Who's There? I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. I can't believe January is almost over. Oh my goodness. But I'm super stoked because this week we have James Michael Flatus on the show. He's the editor of Horror Press, a horror news and review website that he created to showcase underrepresented voices in horror, which I think is awesome. He divulged his ultimate phobia to me, his favorite female directors, and why he started Horror Press and how it's going and what's coming up this year for it. He also has an accompanying podcast also called Horror Press. Lastly, if you want to join the community over on Patreon, I would love to have you over there. You can click the link in the show notes, and for only $3 a month, you'll get access to early episodes, stickers, a monthly newsletter, and more. As always, please take a second to rate and review us wherever you listen, and let's get into my conversation with James Michael Flatus. Hey, James Michael, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. It is that week in between Christmas and New Year's where time does not exist. So I appreciate you taking time.
It is such a blur. Like, honestly, I had 25 panic attacks between yesterday and today thinking that we were recording yesterday. And then I was like, no, that's tomorrow. And then I realized that was actually last week for this week. So, yes.
Oh my goodness. Well, now hopefully you're not feeling any anxiety now. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm James Michael. I run horrorpress.com and I also host the Horror Press podcast. Horror Press was born as a website to give a platform to underrepresented voices in horror. So I get to work with lots of fun people and all we do is basically fan out about horror. That's me.
Awesome. So first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
My favorite scary movie at this moment, probably still Evil Dead 2013.
I just got that on DVD. I've seen it once. I really like it.
I saw it in theaters like 5 times.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite experiences actually in a movie theater. Close second would probably be Knife and Heart, which you can find on Shudder.
Oh, I've never heard of it. I'll have to go look it up after
this. It's this really cool French neo-giallo movie directed by Yon Gonzalez. I love him.
All right, cool. I'm not too much into giallo, but I'll watch the trailer, see if maybe it would be on my app.
I'll watch that trailer on repeat just because it's such a fun... The score was done by M83.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you know who they are, but he does really awesome music and it fits so perfectly with the theme of the movie.
Ooh, that's fun. I love movie scores. So that's fun. So I heard recently that Evil Dead Rise 2013 was like the bloodiest horror movie of all time. Have you ever heard that?
I have. Lots and lots and lots of blood in that, especially towards the end. Even the older Evil Dead, I don't know if we're talking about Evil Dead Rise or Evil Dead, but the scene when it's raining blood, they had to go through a lot of fake blood.
Yeah, I mean Evil Dead 2013. So yeah, Evil Dead.
Definitely. Tons and tons of fucking blood.
Yeah. Did you like Evil Dead Rise?
I did, actually. I really loved it. It was a very good time. And I thought it really carried on the legacy from Evil Dead 2013. It's very different tonally from the other Evil Deads. I'm a pretty big Evil Dead fan. Like, I recently saw the play, the musical, in Red Bank. Like a month ago. I've seen it before when it was in New York. I got to sit in the splatter zone. So you get covered in blood, fake blood. And yeah, it's always such a joy to see anything Evil Dead related.
That's awesome. I am so jealous that you got to see it off Broadway. I missed it. I also had never watched The Evil Dead before the pandemic. So it was just not on my radar at all. But I wish I had known it was in Red Bank. You mean in New Jersey?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I want to say in November I saw it. It played for 2 days. Tickets were very cheap. And Red Bank is this really cool little area. And, you know, you could get drinks right beforehand. And it's right downtown. And it was great. I loved it.
Oh, so jealous. How did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
So I am a scaredy cat. I get scared, but I like being scared. So Growing up, I probably saw my first horror movie that I remember around 4. I would go to my neighbor's house and we would just sneak horror movies all the time in their basement. Her parents would like bootleg movies from HBO. And one of the first horror movies we actually watched was, I think, Evil Dead, the original. And I would get terrified, terrified, terrified. My mom would always get very mad at me because I'm a very light sleeper. To this day, I sleep very little. And it would terrify me all the time until one time I sat with my grandmother, who also liked horror, but we never watched it together. And she would just be like, I'm Cuban. So she was in Spanish saying, like, these are my mystery movies. And we would like watch Nightmare on Elm Street. And like the reframing from horror, scary to mystery, I don't know, something in my brain just clicked. And just sitting and watching it with her made it okay. And we kind of bonded over that. And then, of course, like Friday nights at the rental store growing up with her, you know, there's very little experience like it going into the horror section of a rental store. It's almost romantic, I think, when I think back on it. And I don't know, just growing up with Sunday night horror movies with my grandmother and sneaking into the basement to watch Evil Dead, it just, I grew with horror.
Oh, that's so sweet. My grandmother never loved horror, so I'm jealous that you got to have that experience. Why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
That's a really hard question, mostly because we're all crazy in our own little ways. But I think horror gives us a chance to explore these dark themes in a controlled environment. And I myself am very high strung, very anxious, nervous person. And horror gives me the chance to explore these scary situations that I myself would never put myself in. But, you know, it gives people a way to explore these dark topics that normally they would never put themselves in. I'm not sure what to say other than that. Plus, I don't know. I find that horror offers the greatest community out of any other genre. Like, I have yet to find a rom-com community. Is there one? Maybe there's a Hallmark Channel type community, but nothing that compares to horror.
That is so true. That is so true. I don't know if there's a rom-com community. There's probably like a Hallmark community.
For sure. I don't think they get conventions like we do, though.
No, because that would just be a bunch of single women looking for a meet cute. I don't know. I love myself a good rom-com sometimes, but they are toxic as fuck. So
Yeah.
so
I was going to say also, I think, well, I got lost in my train of thought, but horror fans, at least for me, I don't like to live in this sugar plum fairy world or delude myself that everything is happy and perfect. So, as fantastical as some horror can be, it almost feels more realistic to watch, especially with all the horrors in the world. I don't know.
yeah, I agree with that. And I think that's why some horror fans handled the pandemic and lockdown better than people who just love rom-coms and comedies.
Absolutely.
So, what scares you today in horror movies?
So, I don't know what scares me today in horror movies. I have a pretty severe phobia for aliens. But aliens, a very specific type, not like the xenomorph alien type alien, but like the gray alien. And there was a movie recently that came out that everyone was obsessed with for like 3 minutes on Twitter.
No one will save you.
No one will save you. And that movie, for the first 3 to 4 minutes, terrified me. And then you get the money shot at the start. And then from then on out, it's just CGI aliens voguing the whole time. And that kind of like ruined things for me. So I want to say a very well done alien movie will set me off. Only because I'm very particular about like aliens. I think aliens are real. I believe in aliens. I don't want to be abducted by them. So, like, movies like The Fourth Kind, E.T., Fuck E.T., should really do something to my psyche. No, thank you.
How do you feel about the movie Signs?
Okay, so Signs explored another fear that I have that you're probably going to think I'm this crazy, neurotic ball of nerves. But not only did Signs terrify me because of the aliens, but I have this weird hang up about doors. So there's a scene in Signs where I think he's peeking below the door sill at the bottom, and then the hand like lunges out. And that scene terrified me. Something about doors and windows really scare me.
How come? What do you think that is?
I think the fear of the window is knowing that you can see out, but also things can see in. And then going to bed, there could be anything that could be staring at you at night or watching you while you sleep, and you have no knowledge of that. Like, I don't know, The Strangers. The Strangers was a terrifying movie to me just because of how likely and possible it is for someone to just show up at your door at 3 in the morning and just fuck up your whole night. But the thought of just someone watching you through the windows, or even like through a fire escape if you're in an apartment building, super scary. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's why I always close my blinds. My blinds are not closed right here because I'm on a higher floor and I face nothing, so nobody's looking in. But did you watch the show You on
I
Netflix?
did not know.
Oh, well, on the first season, a woman lives in an apartment on the first floor and she never closes her blinds, and it just drove me insane.
No, thank you. No, thank you. No, like I lock everything and I close all the blinds and all that. I can't.
Yeah, I triple lock my door every night. So, what is your favorite subgenre in horror?
Probably vampires, I gotta say. Hold on a second. I know it's definitely vampire or monster.
Okay.
Growing up as a little, possibly neurodivergent Latin kid, going to private school my entire life, who was from the wrong side of town, I feel like grown-ups always really treated me like an outsider, teachers, the parents from class. And because of that, like I subtly picked up on that, and it always like colored my experience around other kids. And just monsters and vampires always just felt comfortable to me because they were always the penultimate outsider. You know, they championed so much cool stuff. They were the outsiders, like I said, and I just always loved them. They were always charming and beautiful, but still different and scary. How about you?
My favorite subgenre is psychological horror. That's kind of the only thing that really scares me, is when it fucks with your mind. Gore is just whatever to me now.
I mean, not to jump the gun, but probably gore would be my least favorite. So, and that's only if the gore itself is pointless. I think I remember in one of your previous episodes, you got in kind of a debate over the gore in Saw, or the dialogue versus the gore in Saw.
Yeah, that was in an episode that I recorded back in August, and
I also remember on Twitter there was quite a few arguments saying that the gore was never pointless in Saw and that we were all wrong. Because there was always a point to it. I don't know if I agree 100%.
well, I remember the conversation that I was having was what's going to offend me more? I had never seen all the sequels, but the person that I was chatting with said, I don't know what's going to offend you more, the gore or the dialogue. And I was like, oh, definitely the gore. And it turned out to be the dialogue.
The dialogue,
So, like, the
because it was
plot,
so bad,
it
it
was
was
so
poorly
bad.
written.
I think it may have been BP from Let's Talk
Yeah,
Horror that
there
I
you
was
go.
talking to.
Yes.
Yeah, so I remember listening to that and like editing it a couple months ago, and I was like, oh, well, that turned out to be the opposite. So
I think he was also the one that said his favorite horror movie was Donnie Darko.
I've only seen it once. I have to rewatch it. So
I've seen Donnie Darko at least 10 times, and I still don't know what the hell it's about.
okay. All right.
Cellar Door, Drew Barrymore, Frank the Rabbit. I don't know what the movie was about.
I just remember
It was
Jake
cool
Gyllenhaal
though.
Hall being in it. So.
It was a very cool movie for that time period, I think, and everyone latched onto
Speaking of creature features, and being like the outsider, the angry black girl and her monster and Birth Rebirth came out this year. Did you have a chance to see any either of those?
unfortunately have not. They have been on my radar. It's just been so much horror this past year. So much, and then I think one of those came out like late summer, and I was already like killing myself with October, getting ready for Halloween, that it just slipped through the cracks for me. I definitely do need to check those out though.
Yeah, they're both really good, and they're both like Frankenstein-esque. So recommend those. I see that you have a lot of tattoos. Do you have any horror tattoos?
I don't have any horror tattoos. I have a good like 13 or 14 tattoos. None of them have anything horror related though, because I'm terrified to get something and then I'll just like move on and be like, oh, it's like imagine if I would have gotten Ghostface tattooed and then I just hated it in 3 years. Or imagine if the whole franchise just got cooked overnight.
Well, that would never happen. I only have one tattoo and it's not a horror tattoo, but I was thinking about maybe getting a small horror tattoo that's a fly because I love Jeff Goldblum and then I also love The Ring. So it would
Nice.
kind of represent both of them, but I don't think I want a fly tattooed on me. So.
You would need to get it done so that it looked real and people thought there was a fly on you. And they would be trying to swat you all the
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need strangers
time.
trying to touch me.
Did you watch The Ring at Brooklyn Horror this year? Or
Ring
Ringu?
Ringu, I did not. It was too late. I've seen it before. I don't really like it. I think it's kind of boring. So.
So my hot take, I didn't like it either. I didn't like it, and I was very disappointed because it was a midnight viewing, and I was very excited to be able to see Ringu on the big screen. Everyone was hyping it, and I was like, yeah. And then I got there. I'm very thankful I ordered a chicken fucking sandwich because I was bored for like 90% of it.
There's no atmosphere in that movie like there is in the American remake.
I did like Door. I don't know if you got to see Door. It's on Screambox now.
Oh, I didn't get to see that at the festival, so I'll have to catch it on Screenbox. I have been trying to watch like as many 2023 releases before 31st. I think I might be a little movied out. Might need to watch a couple rom-coms to cleanse my palate. But
Honestly, ever since October, and I've been crying about this on my podcast, I've kind of been like dropping the ball only because I feel like as horror content creators, Halloween is so insane for us that by the time October's done, I'm like, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I'm just watching Real Housewives. Leave me alone. I do still watch some horror here and there, but I'm trying to take a break until January.
that's reasonable. I was really busy in October with all the releases and the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival and doing some other horror related stuff that after in November, I was like, I don't want to leave the house. My boyfriend was like, I don't believe you, but sure. I did leave the
I
house a
mean,
bunch
that
of
weekend
times.
alone for Brooklyn Horror, I think I saw like 8 to 10 movies in 48 hours.
Oh, with 48 hours. Oh my God.
Was like, leave me alone. Don't talk to me.
But we love you, Brooklyn Horror Film Festival.
I love them. As you know, like, Horror Fest is a sponsor of them. So,
Oh,
I don't know if you
nice.
noticed.
I
Yeah.
did. Oh yeah. I think I have a sticker with your logo on
Oh,
it.
so you went to the Slade, the Queer Horror Shorts?
No, I didn't. I don't know if it was it were you sponsoring last year?
I sponsored last year and this year.
Yeah, so maybe it's from last year, but I haven't. Yeah. Shorts are not really my thing. I know they can be really good, but like they're just not something I look for. I don't
The
know.
nice thing about shorts is that they're very low investment. So even if they're a miss, at least it was only 15, 20 minutes
That's true.
versus 2 hours like The Ring. And then you get out of the theater at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I want to be in bed by midnight. So.
Okay,
Oh
we really like went on a tangent. I'm so sorry.
no, it's okay. It's great. I love it. Do you have any favorite horror directors?
Yes, Yan Gonzalez is one of my favorites of all time. He's the one that directed Knife and Heart. I'm going to scream its praises again. Definitely check it out. I also really like Alexander Aja. He's the one that did High Tension. I think in 2004, he did Crawl in 2019. I think he's also doing the next Alien movie that's coming out at
I think
the end
so.
of the year
That sounds
in
right.
August. And he hasn't really had a miss for me that I know of. But Yan Gonzalez is great. He also did a short last year at Brooklyn Horror called Hideous, which I really enjoyed. It's on Mubi. We have a subscription to that. Those two are definitely my favorite. I love them.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll have to look up. Is it knife in the heart?
Knife plus heart, knife and heart.
So you are the creator of the website Horror Press, where you cover news and horror community topics. It's relatively new, so what inspired you to create Horror Press?
So we're actually turning 2 years old January 11th. We have covered over 400 articles in 2 years almost. We're almost at 450 at this point. I really wanted to see a blog, a website, an outlet that focused on voices other than straight white men. Really, what it boils down to. We feature a lot of female voices, people of color, really all the unique flavors that you normally don't see. And part of that was mostly because I wanted to see more representation out there. I wanted to see a different viewpoint on horror that you normally don't see. So I literally just agonized and agonized and agonized for many months on whether or not I'm going to create it. And I finally did. And I set out and I tried to find the most unique voices that I could. All of our writers are paid, which was a very big thing for me. I wanted to make sure that everyone got paid fairly. And it's just been blazing a trail of fire ever since. And yeah, that's basically how it all started. I was listening to Kim Petras and got inspired.
That is awesome. How has the response been from your readers?
So we started very obviously very, very small. But as we've grown, we have this really cool little fan base that I'm very proud of. I love them dearly. It's unfortunate that Twitter kind of took a nosedive at some point and messed with the algorithm. But luckily, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but Instagram and Facebook are very difficult when it comes to anything horror related. For the longest time, because our website was horrorpress.com, the word horror flagged it as a terrorist group.
Oh, no.
So they would not let us promote or post anything to our website. But eventually, I screamed and screamed and screamed and sacrificed several black goats. And Mark Zuckerberg finally allowed us to start posting. I don't
Oh.
sacrifice black goats. But now we can post to Facebook and Instagram. So it's been really nice because for the longest time, we couldn't really get any traction on mainstream social media. And it's been great, especially like since I launched Horror Press. We've only done 19 episodes. I've only been around for like a year. But we've been doing very well, and all we really do is focus on horror news. So I'd like to start doing more reviews, but I feel like on top of editing all the stuff for Horror Press and editing the podcast and everything, it's just a lot. But I try my best.
What are your favorite articles that have been published over on Horror Press?
So actually, today is Barbara Crampton's birthday, and it just came out perfectly, coincidentally. We have this article called The Emancipation of Barbara Crampton that was written like 2 years ago, right before anyone even knew who the hell we were. So I took the opportunity to repost it today because it's such a fun article that just celebrates her career up to Jacob's
Wife.
wife. Jacob, I was going to say Jacob's ladder. Jacob's wife. And that's one of my favorites, probably. There's also one on Roe versus Wade, but from the perspective of Rosemary's Baby, which was also very good, very well written by Abigail Waldron, and also one about Carrie White, you know, Carrie, and how she's basically a queer icon for men.
Oh, that's awesome. So, like you were saying, you also have a podcast that goes along with the site. It's called the Horror Press Podcast, appropriately. You said you have 19 episodes. What do you have planned for 2024?
So I'd like to find a stable co-host because normally it's always just me trying to sucker people into co-hosting with me for every episode. I would like to find a steady co-host, but also start exploring more movie reviews. Specifically, every month for Horror Press, we have a theme. So for January, it's going to be Giallo. For February, it's going to be found footage. So during those months, I'd like to explore specific movies to those themes. But like I said, I'm lazy and that requires more work. So we'll see. We'll see. I do enjoy doing research for news articles and stuff like that to discuss on the podcast. Just adding that extra block for a movie discussion may be too much for me, at least for now. But we'll see.
Well, we will be on the lookout for that. Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
So today also, there was an article that was put up that was commenting on BuzzFeed's top 11 most disturbing horror movies of all time. We did our counter argument to that because a lot of them were very, very basic. Like, who's going to say Scream is one of the most disturbing horror movies or Saw? Like, yeah, Saw is disturbing, but is it the most disturbing? I don't think so. So, the majority of that list is definitely something I have no interest to ever watch. The first one that comes to mind, of course, is a Serbian film. I want to know who is a fan of that movie. I want to know, like, why people even thought it was a good idea to make, but there's worse than that. I did not know that. To me, Serbian film was probably the worst for the longest time, but there are much worse, much fouler movies.
Okay.
Probably, if I had to give a name, Inside 2007. It's inside from the year 2007 is probably one of them. I From what I know, there's a pair of scissors and a fetus involved. No, thank you. Like, that's just mean and gross. What's the purpose of that?
Yeah, those French extremity movies. I meant to watch that this Christmas season and I did not get around to it.
Perfect for
So,
the holidays.
right? It's a Christmas horror movie. I love it. It's about being with your family. I have a friend who he's sort of known as like the person who like appreciates a Serbian film. I don't want to call him out here, but yeah, whenever somebody's like, "Who likes that movie?" I'm like, "Oh, it's that guy. This guy likes it." But I'm not going to call him out here. So, but I've never seen a Serbian film. Yeah, it's not for me.
So last year for Brooklyn Horror, they did a French Extremity like thing. And I tried my best to go to most of them. Because the whole reason why I even started sponsoring them, okay, little tiny secret. Last year they put out this movie called Calvaire, which was a movie that I had fallen in love with a very long time ago, maybe like mid-2000s. And I had never seen it in theaters. And when I heard that this film festival was putting it out, I was like, I want to be a part of that. I want to like help, sponsor that. And I reached out and I was like, hey, Shot in the Dark, and I sponsor you guys. And Calvaire was the reason that I did that. And that movie is pretty fucked up, but it's just fucked up enough that I would rewatch it, which I did. But later on in the film festival, there was a movie called Basse-Moi, which was pretty insane, followed by Irreversible, which was also very insane. I
I
don't know,
haven't
did you
seen
see
that
it?
either. But Basse-Moi, no. I remember last year seeing a film. It wasn't Lithuanian. It was like some other Eastern European country. It was made over there and it was just really gross. But I can't remember
Was
what it
it
was called.
Calvaire?
I know
Was
it
it
felt
the traveling magician guy that his car breaks down and the innkeeper thinks that he's his wife?
No, I don't think so. No, I can't remember.
Well, Basse-Moi, as fucked up as that movie was, I have to say it's the only movie that has the title of showing me the most butthole in a non-pornographic, slightly pornographic setting, and then has a gun that goes into the butthole. And that's probably as far as I personally could go when it comes to disturbing stuff. Irreversible, that's another breed of monster. There's like a full PNV RPE scene that is just extended, and I'm not sure why it exists, but it does. But when it comes to more grounded, disturbing movies, I have to say, The Night House. I probably would never watch The Night House again. That movie really fucked me up.
Oh my goodness, I would never expect you to say that. I kind of like that movie. It was just like with all like the camera angles and the camera tricks that they
It
did.
was very well made, very good movie, but it got under my skin in such a way. Like, I was dealing with some things in my personal life, and it was just the topics were just heavy enough that
Yeah.
it affected me in ways that just I don't know if I want to revisit it. Maybe in a couple years, because it was really well done. I think Rebecca Hall is incredible. But that was a very effective psychological horror movie that got under my skin.
Have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters besides any of the ones that you talked about already?
So I'm a crazy neurotic person. So when I go to the theater, I am totally absorbed into the movie, and any little thing around me that can distract me will just take me out of it and drive me nuts. So when I hear people like talking about a movie like Scream, and they're like, "Oh, I had this great audience experience, and everyone was screaming and cheering," and I hate that. Get out of here. Don't talk to me during the movie. Don't talk around me. Don't have your phone out. So I will do my best to just avoid it and go do matinees or Thursday night, Tuesday nights, whatever I can. So no, I don't have very good experiences like that. If that's what you're talking about, at least.
Yeah, or just like seeing a movie that you love in theaters.
Okay, so Hereditary, I gotta say, was probably one of the only movies that like affected me to such an extent that I want to get up and leave.
Oh my goodness. Why?
Well, I feel like it's safe to talk about spoilers at this point, but the scene when Charlie goes kablam and then he goes home and is just screaming, It made me so uncomfortable. It's made me so uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to react or feel. It was just cringe times a million in a good way, not bad cringe, but like I was very uncomfortable. And I, of course, that is the whole point I want to say, but it did a number on me. I don't know. Are you a Hereditary hater?
No, I love Hereditary. It's actually become one of my comfort horror movies, which sounds really weird, but it's just like I know the motions of it already, and it's a
The
roller
first
coaster.
time,
So,
that first time when
yeah.
Charlie gets hit by the telephone pole,
Oh,
like
yeah.
I didn't know what to do in that reclining theater seat. Like I wanted to crawl out of there. Another movie, okay, this is a bonus one because this one isn't as terrible. I think it was 2012 or 2013. I was gonna go see a Sandra Bullock space movie, and I didn't know anything about this movie, and I smoked a bowl. And I went to see this movie. I think it was called Gravity. And this is the movie where she's like in space and she gets like blown up and she has to try to find her way back to Earth. And this was the most tense movie to watch, like under the influence of marijuana,
I can
that
imagine,
I
yeah.
stopped breathing several times during this movie. I was so tense throughout this whole movie, but it probably lent to the experience, if I'm being honest, but that also affected me greatly.
Have you seen the movie Fall that came out last year?
No, I haven't. I know they're making a sequel to it, but that is not a movie that I would want to watch. Like, isn't it really tense too?
Yeah, that's like the most tense I've ever been in a movie theater. So if you want to watch something that's going to make you like feel stuff, watch that one.
I mean, I definitely should. I should watch it, but. I heard great things about it.
Yeah. So this is going to be coming out in January of 2024. So what has your favorite horror movie of 2023 been?
So I gotta say it's Slaughterhouse. Just kidding, just kidding.
Oh, no, at first I was like, wait, did he say Skinamarink or Slaughterhouse or Slender
No,
Man?
no, 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 no. I did
I've
not
heard
like Skinamarink.
Slaughterhouse is great. So
I love Slaughterhouse, but I just didn't think it would be a movie that you would think that I would be like my favorite.
oh, I
Did
don't.
you like Skinamarink?
I thought it was also a really tense movie to watch in the theaters. It was maybe a little bit too long, but I did enjoy it for what it was.
So my big thing about horror for us is that I'm very big on, I only want horror geeks, no horror nerds, because to me, to geek is to love, to nerd is to hate. So especially when it comes to like indie movies, there's so much blood, sweat, and tears that go into them that I do my best. Like, if I don't like it or if my writer doesn't like it, we just skip it. I'd rather not poo-poo all over it. Skinamarink, though, now that it's seen monumental success, I didn't like it. I saw it in theaters like very, very early. I felt trapped for 2 hours and it was very eerily silent. So again, I'm very high strung, so I felt like I couldn't move because I'm making noise and distracting other people. And since there's like no dialogue or real plot, like I had no idea like how far along the story I was. So it was like 10 o'clock at night, and it was like, when is this gonna end? And it just kept going. I feel like if it was 40 minutes long, it would have been perfect.
Yeah, it was an hour and 40 minutes. So, yeah, it was just a little bit too long. How did you feel about Rolling Stone and Variety saying it was the scariest movie of 2023?
I disagree. I disagree. I thought clearly a movie like that takes skill to make. 100%. It's not easy to make a movie to look and feel and evoke that time period in your life as a child. It didn't land for me personally. I know it's found its audience and I'm happy for them. It's just not for me. I want to say Evil Dead Rise is one of my top threes. I really like Brooklyn 45 as well, which came out on Shudder, I think, early fall. What other movie did I really like? I really like this recent Julia Roberts movie that came out on Netflix. It came out like 2 weeks ago and no one's talking about it. It's the one with the killer Teslas and the internet goes down.
Leave the World Behind.
Yeah, I kind of like that movie. It's definitely not my favorite for the year. It probably is Evil Dead Rise for me, but Brooklyn 45 was up there. I really loved those characters and it was very charming. So if you want to just put it on in the background, drink a little Moscato, to relax, it's a perfect movie for that.
So on the flip side, what horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in 2024?
Nosferatu,
Nice.
100%. Nosferatu, maybe Alien. You might not know this about me, but I hate Alien, like the movie, the franchise. I don't
Oh,
like it.
okay.
I like the new ones, though, the fake ones, like Prometheus and Covenant. And I know people like lose their mind when they hear that, but I thought the original Alien was boring.
Okay. I've only watched it once. That and Aliens, I've only seen one time each. I just like them because there's a cat in them. So, other than that, I could live
I
without
mean,
them.
I liked Aliens 2 much better than Alien 1. I don't know, it's not a movie for me. I hate aliens.
Yeah, so why would you like Alien? Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
So probably, and this is probably going to get me shit on a lot, I really like Dark Shadows, the Tim Burton movie. It's not a good movie. It's not a good movie, but I like to put it on in the background when I'm
Okay.
doing my thing. And it's just relaxing. I mean, it has Helena Bonham Carter in it, and it has Ava Green is Ava Greening in it. Johnny Depp is Johnny Depp, whatever. Chloe, I don't know what Chloe's doing in the movie other than being a werewolf eventually. But I like Dark Shadows. It's just a fun, dumb movie.
Awesome. I have never seen it before. I think it looks very cool. I like Tim Burton movies and how they look and feel. So that is one
I
that I
mean,
still need to check out.
I don't. There's something about the way he makes the movies. I didn't particularly like the Alice in Wonderland stuff that he did, but I really did like Dark Shadows. The other movie that I don't know if people dislike it, they don't talk about it. I really love All About Evil, which came out in 2010.
I've never heard of it.
It should be still on Shudder. It's directed by Peaches Christ. Natasha Lyonne is in it. She plays a girl that inherits her father's dying theater, and she kind of revives it by filming herself murdering people, like making snuff films. People don't know that she's actually murdering them on camera, but she is. And it also stars Cassandra Peterson, aka Elvira.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's a fun campy movie.
Oh, that's super cool. I'll have to look it up. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Tremors. 100%. 1990s, Kevin Bacon, Tremors. Redo it. No CGI. Bring Kevin Bacon back as Val McKee. Do it. Maybe Pumpkinhead, but they're like remaking that somewhere, I heard. It's just in hell, like Children of the Corn was for a long time.
Yeah, hopefully they can make Tremors more interesting. I watched the first one and I was like, I'm very bored, which is not
It's
a
like
popular
Jaws in the
opinion, but
desert.
yeah, I don't think Jaws is very entertaining either. And don't kill me. And I went to go see it when they re-released it last fall, like in theaters in like IMAX. And I was like, this scene of the men talking on the boat for 40 minutes is way too long. We need to cut this.
Jaws, I was tricked into watching as a child because I went to this neighbor's house to learn how to swim, and the kids after the pool were just sitting around the TV. It was summertime. They were like, "We're watching a movie called Jaws," and everyone knew I was a scaredy cat, and I was like, "What is that?" And they were like, "Oh, it's about a talking shark." And literally, I'm like 50 minutes into this movie, I'm like, "When does this shark start talking?" And they're like, "He doesn't. He just eats people." And by then, I was just like in. I had to finish it.
Oh, nice. So my last question is, if someone asked you to define horror, how would you define horror?
That's a hard question. I don't know, a movie that scares you. I think I hate if there's one thing that I see on Twitter a lot, because I basically live on Twitter in social media for horror press. I hate gatekeepiness. There's so many people that will scream, "That is not horror. This is not scary." I mean, bitch, I'm scared of windows, okay? I'm scared of doors. What's scary to you may not be scary to me, okay? So, maybe The Fourth Kind didn't affect you, but hearing about aliens abducting people and owls and all this stuff, terrifies me. So, whatever scares you is horror. And that's totally fine. Even if it's Goosebumps, even if it's Are You Afraid of the Dark or Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, like whether it's gateway horror or hereditary levels of horror, it's horror. Whatever scares you.
Awesome, I love. Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find the Horror Press podcast and Horror Press online?
Sure. So my personal account on Twitter is JMFLATES, J as in James, M like Michael, FLEITES. And our HarPress account is at HarPress LLC on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, basically everywhere. And also on TikTok at HarPress, no LLC there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and hopefully I'll run into you at a film festival in New York City sometime this year.
Definitely, definitely. Hopefully in October, if we're sponsoring them again, we can hang out. Say hi in
Yay.
person.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with James Michael Flatus, and thanks again to James for coming on. I'll leave links to where you can find him and HorrorPress in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Who's There PC. Don't forget to check out our Patreon. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherePC@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.